Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, football was battling for first place in the Sun Belt's Western Division over the weekend. We'll recap the Southern Miss game. Basketball team spending some time on the road. Bowling and tennis had really nice weekends. But we're going to start today talking volleyball. Brian Gerwig's team clinching the Sun Belt's Western Division for the second straight year over the weekend. After falling Friday at South Alabama in four sets, the Red Wolves came back and dominated Saturday's match. They swept the Jaguars 25-10, 25-21, and 25-14. The team now 17-8 overall. They're 10-4 in conference play, 9-3 in the division. And the last weekend of the regular season is going to be at home this weekend, hosting Old Dominion Friday at 6 and Saturday at noon. Here to talk about all this good stuff with us is Junior Libero from Louisville, Kentucky. It's Mia Maloney. Hello,
hello.
Mia.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Straight Western Division championship.
Yes, thank you. It's unreal that we won back to back.
Yeah, I got a question about that. Did y'all know that was the deal? Like, did you know going into Saturday, hey, if we win this game, we win the West? Because I'm going to put my hand up and confess that I didn't know that was a thing until Sports Information put it out.
Yeah, we honestly, I was thinking that our first game was the deal breaker because we were tied with South Al the whole entire time. And we ended up beating Louisiana, so that put us in first. And then I thought we were still tied the whole entire time. So I thought that we lost Friday. I was like, dang, like they won. Maybe we could try and tie. I don't know how that would work. But yeah, luckily it was Saturday's game. That was the big.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, because I had to check up on this stuff. So it's interesting because you can win the division. They still play divisions. Even though we're a game up on South Alabama with two games to play, those games are not against someone in the division. So our record in the West is what you win the division off of.
Yes.
It's different than other sports in the league.
But then they don't seed it off the division either. It's not like you're automatically going to be a top two seed just because you win a division. Now, in all likelihood, we're going to be a top two seed, but it's not going to be just based on that. So, it can get a little confusing from time to time.
It can, for sure. And last year, we won both sides, so that was really awesome. And then if you win your side, you get a bye in the conference tournament. So we won't have to play the first day, which is really, really nice. So that's why we really wanted to be first, so we didn't have to play four games.
We're going to kind of work backwards here. I do want to start with the weekend, though. Mm-hmm. So we mentioned you lose in four sets Friday and then just absolutely dominate them on their senior day Saturday. So what changed?
I think it was definitely our energy and our mindset going into the game. And I know that after we lost, we all talked and we were like, guys, that was just not us. Like, we want to come in here and we want to ruin their senior night and we want to show them Arkansas State. And that's exactly what we did.
Well, you definitely did.
Yeah.
It's been a really interesting season because you started with such a tough non-conference schedule. You had the tournament in Atlanta to begin with. You had the home matches against Missouri. They were ranked 16th in the country. I think Brad and I, and we talked about it with Peyton Van Veen a few weeks ago, we had no idea that A-State volleyball, with all its success, had never defeated a ranked opponent. That was the first ever ranked win when you beat Missouri in that Friday match. You had the road win at Arkansas in the first ever meeting with the Razorbacks. So what's your big highlight from this year?
I have to say it was the Missouri game because at home and the atmosphere of the game, it was just so awesome. I remember after we won, I was like tearing up because I was like, no way that we just beat them. It was just such a huge accomplishment, and it really gave us a lot of confidence going in the rest of the season.
As you mentioned, it's been an interesting season because you guys lost in 5 to Ole Miss. I'm sure a match you would like to have back.
Yes.
The 2 5-set, split the 5-setters with Mizzou, go beat Arkansas. Then along the way, as you mentioned, even to Friday night, there's been a time or two in conference play where you guys just probably didn't feel like you've played like yourself. Every team's different. Mm-hmm. Even a team this year that had a lot of people back. Is this a team that likes being the underdog?
I think so. I think that we have a lot of motivation when we play teams that we're like, oh, they're supposed to beat us, or they're super, super good. And I think that also showed when we played Texas State, and we were like, we have something to prove because we obviously lost to them last year in the championship game. And I don't know. I think it's just like this motivation and this grit that we have, and we just want to go out there and just prove something.
All right. I want to get into your story. Mentioned you're from Louisville, and you come from a volleyball family. You're the youngest of 4 girls. God bless your dad. But you all played volleyball, right?
Yes. Yep. Even my parents, they would play pickup like leagues in our church leagues. And I think that Louisville is just such like a volleyball city. And there's always sand volleyball courts everywhere you go. I mean, you can eat dinner and there will be a sand volleyball court right next to you. So everybody's like, at least with sand volleyball, everybody knows how to play. And yeah, my parents, they met honestly from volleyball. And
really?
Yep.
How so?
They played in like a little league. My dad went to Western Kentucky, and him and his buddies had this league that they would play in. And my mom saw him, and they both enjoyed the game, and the rest is history.
Wow. How cool is that? You talk about the ultimate volleyball family.
Yes.
Now, all your sisters played club ball, right?
Yes.
But you had one sister that went to another place that is absolutely volleyball crazy, and that happens to be the University of Nebraska. She was part of 2 national championship teams.
Yes.
She was a captain at Nebraska. So what was it like just watching her and being around that environment?
I remember after she won her 2nd national championship, it was senior night, and she was just talking about how none of her other sisters are going to be able to say that they got rings. And I was like, oh, man, like that did something to me. I was like, dang, like I want to go somewhere where I can get a ring, like all of this stuff. But it's always been kind of competitive, but also just so much fun watching her play. And when I was so little and she first got recruited there, I remember being like, that's not a big deal. Like, I didn't know how big of a deal it was to win a national championship and to even go to Nebraska. And it was just insane. So growing up, it was like, wow, like she's really awesome. Definitely a role model.
So out of you 4 volleyball playing sisters, what's the split position wise? Who was what?
Everybody was a libero. All of us, we were all defense.
Nobody, all defense.
Yep. Nobody was ever, I guess, probably not tall enough to be a hitter. And nobody wanted to be a setter. And I don't know how it happened. We just all were liberos. Yeah.
What blows me away is just the interest level of those folks in Nebraska in volleyball. I think they get it. They
yes.
see what an incredible sport it is. And I guess it was last year they filled up the football stadium for a volleyball game. I think people nationally saw
over
just
90,000.
How big of a deal it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I was introduced to it, and I don't know if you were walking with me back in 2012. We're walking across campus for one of those football games. We were there, I guess, the Friday before we played them in football that year, walking across campus and seeing all these people flocking somewhere. And finally, I stopped and asked them where they were going, and they said they were going to the volleyball game. And I think we were just all blown away by how many people were going to the volleyball game at Nebraska.
That does not surprise me at all. I actually got to go on my sister's official visit, and I remember seeing like so many people going there. It felt like a Louisville football tailgate. It was just insane. I was on my dad's shoulders, and people were just high-fiving me, and it was just crazy.
You were destined to play volleyball, it seems.
Yes.
You were very successful in high school, honorable mention All-American. So I'm sure there were a lot of options. Why did you choose Arkansas State?
Well, my head coach in high school, he actually knew Brian, and I think that they went to the same high school. He was like, hey, like, there's this school, Arkansas State, and I had never heard of Arkansas State before, and I was like, okay, like, I'll go on my visit there. And I came here, and I just remember all of the girls were so nice and welcoming, and Brian had this vision for all of us, and he just wanted to get to basically where we are now, and he wanted to be back top of conference and win a conference title, and I'm just so glad that his vision is now in action.
Well, how is that? I mean, that's what, I mean, every coach is mm-hmm. going to bring every recruit in and tell that recruit, we're going to compete for conference championships. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, if you don't think that, or you're not telling your recruits that, then you're in the wrong spot. But mm-hmm. what makes it true when he says it to you guys?
I don't know. I think that honestly, each person, like he was talking about the different incoming freshmen. And I know we talked about Caitlin a lot, like KK Whitlock, and she just, I remember watching some of her because we would have club tournaments that we would have together. And I was like, dang, like she's really good. And I would play against Libby in club. And I was like, all of these girls are super good. So I could see his vision coming true.
So you get here and you played a lot your mm-hmm. first couple of years. But Sarah Martinez was here, and we had Sarah in on this podcast last year. Love visiting with her. She had a huge season last year. She was Sun Belt Libero of the Year. So first off, how much did you learn from Sarah and just playing with her the last couple of seasons? And, you know, how has your role changed this year?
I think that Sarah, honestly, was really, really good at getting everybody in line, and she was a great leader. And especially when you have the jersey on, the libero jersey on, you have to lead the defense, and she did that very well. And I think that the way that she talked and the determination in every single point, it really was like, wow, like I want to be like that. Like I want to have that grit that she had, and she just was so competitive and in literally anything. I mean, even in practice, like before we were warming up and we'd play this game called box drill, it was just always so competitive. And I think just carrying on that leadership role and kind of following her footsteps in that way, she's was really good at just getting everybody in line.
Yeah, I'm going to back it up a step here. There'll be someone, people that listen to this podcast because they're big A-State fans and maybe not as versed in volleyball. So tell them about the libero position, why you're the ones out there in a different color jersey, and why you can come and go as you please just about.
Yeah. So basically the libero, I guess, would be the best passer on the team, and you're always in the back row. You can't go in the front row. And basically you lead the defense when you have that jersey on and lead the passing patterns and stuff. And I think that our coach, Jason, he's our passing coach. He honestly has given a lot of confidence with that role because he allows us to put people in places. Like usually a coach would say, hey, we want you all to be in this lineup, or we want this certain person to pass in this way. But Jason lets us be like, hey, like I want you to pass next to me. So that's really cool.
We talked about Sarah and how you learned from her, but you already mentioned you come from a family of liberos. Mm-hmm. How have they been able to help you grow, in particular your sister Kenzie, who was on that Nebraska team?
Yes, I think that literally anytime I have a rough practice or a rough game, I'm immediately texting her. I'm like, oh my gosh, like what do I do? And she honestly helps me calm my brain down more than anything technical, I would say. But yeah, it's just so awesome being able to talk to anybody in my family, especially my sisters, and they just completely understand because they've all played the game before.
One other thing you're really good at is serving. You led the team in aces last year. You lead the team again this year, and you're second in the conference in that category. So take us through the art of the serve?
Well, I think that, again, Jason has really helped me with my serve because we last year practiced so much with serving. He kind of has taught us how to do a drop serve and stuff. That's something I've been working on. But I think serving is honestly more mental than anything because you don't want to go back there and be like, oh, I can't miss this. I can't miss this, because then you're probably going to miss. So it's more just of a confidence thing and knowing that you can get it in.
Is it like a pitcher? I mean, do you get kind of a repertoire for you as far as different serves?
Kind of, yeah. So we have like different zones on the court, and our coach will hold up a number of where to serve at. And then we have different zones that we just came up with this year. And yeah, so he'll hold up a number, a signal kind of, and you know whether you should drop it or float and which seam. It's pretty cool.
Especially, okay, in serving, right? Like you just said, a lot of times your libero is the best passer. So it would stand to reason that, right, people are going to do whatever they can to make sure you're not the one that's passing on a serve. Like, how do you navigate through that when not just you, but any libero, like they're going to try to make sure the serve's not to you? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, I think that honestly reading the server and scouting them before and knowing what their tendencies are, and you can tell like, oh, they really line up their shoulders of where they're about to serve, and you can kind of sneak over and try and take as many balls as you can. But yeah, it's honestly really just about reading them and just trying to take as much court as you can.
Two games left in the regular season. Mm-hmm. That's this weekend at home, and then the conference tournaments. You won the division last year but fell short in the tournament. So how much does that motivate you? How confident that you think this team can have a different outcome this time around?
I think that we are so hungry to win that big trophy and get a ring that says championship, like winners. And I think that, as we talked about before, we love a good, I guess, competition. And I'm so ready to get that big trophy. I know we all are. And I think that we still have some animosity towards Texas State from last year. And I think that's why we swept them this year. And I think it's the same thing no matter who we see. If we make it to the championship game, which I know we will, but no matter who we see, we're going to have some sort of animosity towards them because we want to win.
Yeah, I mean, the personality of this team is like, I think they're going to thrive on not being the number one seed, which, I mean, it appears going into the weekend they won't be because of, you know, whatever's going on the other side, the teams they didn't play. I mean, it's right in their wheelhouse. They get to go know they're one of the best teams in the league without having to be the top seeds. They get to live the best of both worlds.
Yes, I completely agree.
Outside of volleyball, what are you into? What are you majoring in?
I'm actually a CMP major, creative media production major.
Okay.
Yes. And then I have a sports emphasis. So I kind of have been doing radio shows like on my own. I mean, I'm not anything like this in an actual studio, but it's pretty cool. I think stuff like this is super interesting. So
what's your content?
Well, right now I'm doing like a Christian podcast and just playing like Christian music and stuff. I think it's really cool. And we kind of just turn those into our teacher and he'll grade them, but we get to edit it on Adobe and everything. So I think it's really cool.
Do they live anywhere? I mean, can people go hear it?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe he could turn them in to, what is this?
The Red Wolf Radio.
Yes, like Red Wolf Radio. Yeah. Yeah, maybe he could turn it into there, but I don't think so.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Got a really, really random question. Uh-huh. Because it's when Matt was reading off the scores from the win against South Alabama, it kind of put this question in my head. For you, and I don't think there's a real set answer, but just in your opinion, what score does a set go from being close to a beatdown? 25 to what is kind of the starting point of a one-sided win?
I mean, 25-10 is pretty crazy.
That is,
I would say if you get to about 7 points – where you're a 7-point lead, you're more than likely going to win that set. And I know our coach has kind of talked about that, like trying to get people into a 5 or 6 point jump ahead and early on in the game, and you're more than likely to win the set. And I think that's pretty true.
Man, this has been fun. I'm a Mia Maloney fan, so congratulations on the division.
Thank you.
It's great to hear your story. Good luck as you get ready to go into this final weekend of the regular season, and especially good luck coming up in the conference tournament.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Kavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Kavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at KavanaughCars.com. Let's talk football. Red Wolves were battling for first place in the Sun Belt's Western Division on Saturday as they hosted Southern Miss, a couple of red-hot teams that came into the game on four-game win streaks. A lot of storylines in this game, including the return to Jonesboro for former head coach Blake Anderson, coming back as Southern Miss's offensive coordinator. And it was the first ever 11 a.m. kickoff in school history, which was really interesting. Yeah. Now, I will tell you, it was the best pregame meal in school history, too, just from our perspective in the press box. That breakfast was really good. I don't know if you had a chance to partake in
any really,
of that.
Not really, no.
But it was a little bit different. They did the Red Wolf walk 25 minutes later than usual. And there was some gamesmanship involved here. That included the in-stadium music, which was something you obviously knew about.
Yeah.
Slower music, and then for a good while, there was just no music.
Yeah, there was none at all in a big stretch when, you know, gates were open and fans could have be coming in, but Southern Miss was on the field, and we were not. And there's also, you know, they got there, they being Southern Miss, you know, got there earlier than you're used to seeing a visiting team get there. So they were already there probably 30 minutes before Red Wolf walk. Yeah, there was some of that gamesmanship happening. Like I said, nice, slow, a lot of country playing when they got to the stadium. And then, yeah, after a stretch, it went quiet for a good long while.
It did. It was really strange just being in the stadium while Southern Miss was warming up and there was nothing over the stadium speakers. It was a day that I think we're going to remember for a while because of just all the different things that happened before the game, just everything surrounding the game, and then the game itself. I mean, you got two really good teams on the field, two teams that have been playing some really good ball going in. Despite six turnovers, the Red Wolves still had a chance on the final play of the game, but fell short 27-21. A big story kind of coming into the game was turnovers, and that's always a big category you talk about. You talk about that in every game. Hey, we got to win the turnover battle. But, you know, Southern Miss was leading the nation in turnover margin. They were plus 12 on the season, and they were plus 4 in the game on Saturday.
Kind of don't count that last one.
Well, it didn't. I don't count the last one of the first half either because that was on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
So there's two turnovers on the final plays of halves. Still, the Red Wolves turned it over on the first play from scrimmage Saturday. A fumble. I thought that we were able to kind of take the momentum right back because they got the ball at the 24-yard line, and we held them to a field goal.
Yep, yep.
And then the offense drives right back down the field. We had the big play to Corey Rucker, 55-yard pass. That was the longest pass play of the season. And then Kenyon Clay is able to score the touchdown against his former team. And, you know, the Red Wolves are up 7-3, and you're thinking, okay, well, it's going to be okay. But the Red Wolves did not score for a long time after that. And despite the turnovers, despite everything that was going wrong, it was 17-7 at halftime. And you're thinking, well, I don't know how we're only down 10, but we're still right there.
Yeah.
That was kind of how you felt.
Yeah. And you don't give up points to start the third quarter either, right? Get it back quick. So, I mean, that was a big bullet to dodge when you know you're down 10 and you have to give them the ball to start the second half. But yeah, there was a lot of stuff going against you to not have a chance to win that game. You just kept kind of scratching around and clawing and gave themselves a shot.
They did. Yeah, you're down 20-7 in the fourth quarter. You lose your quarterback for a while. Both teams had to go without their starting quarterbacks for a while. Braylon Braxton, the Southern Miss quarterback, preseason offensive player of the year, had to miss four series in the first half after getting rolled up on the 4th-and-1 play, came back, finished the second quarter, and played the entire second half. But Jalen Rayner was playing with an AC sprain most of the game, and it really got tough for him there in the second half, and he had to leave for a couple of series. Insert redshirt freshman Josh Flowers getting his first real significant reps of his career in a game where everything's on the line. It's first place in the division. And I thought he did some really good things. Really helped us in the run game. There was that one play where he just carried the pile and he was getting some help from his offensive lineman, but he went like 16 yards.
Yeah, I don't know what the big deal is. Yeah, you know, everybody grabs when the Eagles run the tush push for 1 yard. I don't see him run it for about 15. That's what the Red Wolves did.
But I thought he showed a lot of poise on the 3rd-and-goal play on the pass over the middle to Tyler Little. How great was it to get Tyler Little back? He's been out since the first play of the Arkansas game back in week 2. And that's something we probably haven't talked about enough. He's a really, really big part of the offense. And, you know, he was really involved in the pass game. So was Tyler Fortenberry. So the tight ends were a really big part of what our offense did the other day. The offense had a ton of yards, 466 yards on the day. But, again, all the turnovers is what ultimately hurt. And there were 5 different possessions, including the last drive of the game, where the Red Wolves got inside Southern Miss territory and didn't get any points. So you kind of look back on missed opportunities. Still, you got the ball back with 109 to go. I thought Butch Jones, and he always does a good job with the clock management, helped give his team a chance. And they get down to the 13-yard line and came down to the final play and unfortunately just fell a little bit short.
It was an exercise in kind of clock management in a new way, working with the 2-minute timeout.
Yeah.
And he made an interesting and proper decision to use the timeouts before the 2-minute timeout because Southern Miss was going to run one play where, you know, they had to run, you know, 3 or whatever. So, I mean, it was a good choice then to not let them just milk it to the 2-minute timeout. And I think it got us the ball back with the maximum amount of time we could get it back with and have a chance to go win it.
On the next to last play of the game, Corey Rucker became the Sun Belt Conference's all-time leading receiver. It was that pass for 23 yards that got the Red Wolves to the 13-yard line. He needed 122 yards Saturday to pass Sam Pinckney for the all-time lead in that category, and that put him at 123 for the day. So congratulations to Ruck. What a career he's had. Already the school's all-time leader in receiving yards, but now the Sun Belt Conference's all-time leader, and he's the NCAA active leader in that category. And Jalen Rayner moved into 3rd place on the all-time passing yards list at A-State. He passed Cleo Lemon, so Justice Hansen and Ryan Applin are the only 2 quarterbacks ahead of him in that category. Talked about Tyler Little coming back. We had a new starter on the offensive line, Baker North, starting for Tristan Smith at left guard. Tristan out for the season after a leg injury late in the Troy game. Alaric Watson, who missed the last 4 games, came back and played the entire second half at right tackle Saturday. And I thought that really helped out the run game in the second half. The run game was a lot better in the second half than it was the first half. It's going to be tough to win the division at this point, but you can still have a winning season. You can still become bowl eligible with the next win. And you got one more home game coming up on Thursday the 20th when the Cajuns come to town.
Senior night, you'll be a big group of seniors, including, you know, Mr. Rucker, who we're talking about. That's reason enough right there to just come and kind of love that guy up. So he suits it up one more time on that turf. And, you know, the whole world watching on ESPN, it is the only college football game in the country next Thursday night. So, one more chance to put on a show. At some point this week, we will give the public their first look at the Howl on Wheels bobblehead.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. People are going to like it. They're going to go fast. So we're paying attention to kind of how to help guarantee you get one of those. Yeah, we'll have some other special stuff, some ticket promotions, some concessions deals, all tied in with being Fan Appreciation Day, which is the final home game of the regular season always is. So, yeah, lots to do. And then before we – I know we'll shift gears here in just a second, but I want to say thank you to everyone who was at the game Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of time in my job, you know, I'm watching the game, I'm seeing the game, but just kind of how it ties into what's the next thing we got to do. Like, right, it's not like I'm locked in watching the game. You're really just kind of seeing it because it means this next thing is coming and that next thing is coming, or we need to do this or that. I thought what was really cool about that crowd is that they did not need prodded or drug into the game. They were in it.
No.
They were in it early. They were in it late. At all the times they were supposed to be in it. It's a lot of fun to hear that when you're not having to try to create that. They came with the right frame of mind, and I appreciate every one of you that did. Like I said, it was a new thing. Like, there was no precedent. They had no idea how it would go playing at 11 o'clock.
They were ready.
They were ready. And honestly, it was actually a little larger than probably normal November crowd, despite kind of what media people may be putting out or whatever. Regardless of the size, I appreciated just the mindset the crowd brought. Like I said, because, I mean, right from the word go, they were into the game. And then late, as he made that charge, they got into the game. And it was kind of that stuff's fun for me to hear.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Back one more time here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Let's talk basketball. The men were on the road Friday at Stephen F. Austin, fell to the Lumberjacks 90-65. Red Wolves now 1-1 on the season. Got down early. It was 12-0 out of the gate. Down 23 at one point, but we made a run in the second half. Got it back down to 12 with about 10 minutes to go. I thought the way we were starting to go that we might have a chance to come back and win the ball game. Still had plenty of time to do it. But there were a couple of possessions after that where there were misses by Stephen F. Austin, but they were able to extend possessions with offensive rebounds. And really, rebounding was the big difference in the ball game. Stephen F. Austin was plus 19 on the glass. They had 19 offensive rebounds, which didn't go along with anything we saw against Ohio when the Red Wolves went on the road and were plus 16 on the boards, or even the exhibition game against Tennessee Martin. Against a big Martin team, the Red Wolves were plus 18 on the glass, but got out-rebounded by Stephen F. Austin. I thought that really was the biggest difference in the ball game. They've got a chance to bounce back, though. Again, three straight on the road to begin the season. They'll be at Missouri State Tuesday night at 7, so the day this podcast comes out. And then the home opener coming up on Saturday. First home game of the Ryan Pinon era, Saturday at 7 against Christian Brothers.
Yeah, we'll have some more to say about that one in just a little bit, but that's the third of three games at the bank on Saturday.
I do want to say something real quick about Ryan Pinon, and anybody who's been around him at all in the last few months knows this guy is a real class act, and he's shown it in many different ways. But after the game, he comes over, and I've got one of those spots at Stephen F. Austin where my broadcast setup is right next to the bench. So as soon as the game's over, you know, I go to break, and you know he's finishing up shaking hands with all the Stephen F. Austin coaches and players. And he walks over to me, and I mean, this was after a 25-point loss. He asked me, what player do you want to bring out? I said, Coach, I know we got a plane to catch. We just lost. I said, if you can just come out, that's all we need to do. He said, no, the players are going to face the media, win or lose. I want somebody to come out here and talk from the players. And I said, okay. So Joey Chama was the leading scorer, and he did a lot of good things. So I had Joey come out. He did a great job. I talked to him and Coach Pinon, and I thought it just showed a lot of character. I think it builds character for the players. And I told Joey because he hung around. His mom and stepdad were there, and I talked to them for a while, and I said, look, I've been doing this 21 years. I've never in all my time interviewed a losing player after a game on the broadcast. And I said, Joey is the first one to ever do that, and he did great. But that just kind of tells you a lot about Ryan Pinon and what he's trying to do.
Yeah, and this is not necessarily an example of that, but it's more of the stuff you were saying on the front end. This dude's just a genuinely nice guy, very thoughtful, and kind of always has his mind on what he can do for somebody else. But it's different now, right? In this day of kind of rev sharing stuff, is that the lesson you got to take the bad with the good. And if you want to be the player that goes and sits down after a big win, you got to be willing to be the player that has to go sit down and talk after a tough loss. So I'm honestly not surprised to hear that out of him. Big Ryan Pinon fan.
I'm a big Destiny Rogers fan, too.
Yeah.
I think we've made that known over the years. But Coach Dez and her crew went down to Tarleton on Friday, faced a really good Tarleton State team. They came from behind, won in overtime, a game that actually saw, I think, 9 ties and 12 lead changes, and the Red Wolves won it in overtime, 77-67. Chrislyn Rose led the way with 26 points, and after the Red Wolves had forced 35 turnovers against Ball State in the opener, they forced 29 turnovers in the win over Tarleton.
You mentioned the ties or lead changes and whatnot, but still yet it felt like the Red Wolves spent a lot of this game playing from just behind. They were just always kind of just at arm's reach, and even, you know, late. I mean, down 5, you know, inside the last minute, and get a shot, you know, 3 with 13 seconds or so, and then go play defense to get it to overtime, and then just, you know, dominated the overtime. And that's something, too, where I do think their style of play, the 5 in, the 5 out, the minutes that are saved on your players down the stretch, you know, really comes into play in an overtime situation because, I mean, they're just going to have more left in the tank than the team they're playing against. And Chrislyn Rose, she's the real deal. This kid, big time, because she's honestly kind of looking to get other people involved, but she knows when it's time, when it's winning time, she's going to go get it. And she's fun to watch. I had somebody text me during that game, you know, she gives Rudy Sims vibes. And I could agree with that, is just that she just knows when it's time to go in. And she did that in the overtime, got some big shots along the way for some other kids. And this was a good one to win because I know the tough loss, kind of some self-inflicted mistakes against Ball State with all the missed free throws in the opener. So to go gut one out on the road against a good team, that's a heck of a bounce back for this bunch.
The women with a couple of games this week. They'll be at Missouri Tuesday at 6:30, and then they'll be home against Little Rock Saturday at 4. Some other notes from around A-State Athletics this week. Cross country will be competing in the South Regionals this Friday in Fayetteville. Of course, we're cheering for A-State cross country and our buddy Carlo Martinez Jaramillo. I'll tell you, I had more comments about that podcast from last week. People just blown away, just as we were, from that interview with Carlo.
And as soon as we got done recording that, he was named the Sunbelt Runner of the Year.
Yeah.
Which, you know, by virtue of winning the conference meet, he's the Sunbelt Runner of the Year. I actually saw him on campus Friday. That's one of those that you just remember because, like, I was just really, really impressed with him and, you know, shared that with a lot of our staff even and the coaching staff was like, hey, you know, just, you know, he came in here and killed it because, A, he's got a great story and he's really good at telling it. And that was a fun combination for us.
Bowling team had a good weekend. They finished 2nd out of 16 teams at the Bulldog Classic in Fort Worth. They're going to be back in action the 21st through the 23rd at the Colonial Lanes Classic in Harahan, Louisiana.
I'm laughing because of the bowling geography.
Yeah.
Arkansas State held its senior day in Fort Worth at a tournament hosted by Louisiana Tech on Sunday.
Yeah, we kind of scratch our heads over some of that. And you've mentioned before, I mean, it's the same way in golf.
Yeah, it
I
is.
Mean, there's, we host a tournament
Lake Las Vegas.
Yeah.
No, and so there's actually the schedule's a little bit different this year where we don't have a home event. And so, you know, the folks down there, I think they honored, you know, maybe everybody's senior. So it did kind of turn into our pseudo senior day. Yeah, good weekend for that bunch. A top 2 finish against a good field.
Tennis team wrapped up their fall at the Cal State Northridge Invite. 17 wins over the 3 days of the event, including seven on Sunday. They finished the fall with a combined record of 74-52. That's 26-15 in doubles, 48-37 in singles. And I'm going to give you, here's the numbers you need to pay attention to, because this tells you just the kind of job that Sujay Lama has done over the last several years, building this thing up the way he has and completely turning our tennis program around. In the fall of 2023, we were 19-39. Last year, that improved to 54-58. So a lot more matches that were played and a lot higher winning percentage a year ago. And now 74-52 this fall. So it's amazing just how quickly he's been able to right the ship.
Yeah, and we've had him here before and probably should again here sooner than later, because you talk about people with good stories who are good at telling them. It's kind of that old saying about whatever it is,
yeah,
Sujay Lama has it. Infectious personality and spirit, and yeah, you see it. I mean, man, one heck of a job they've done with that tennis program.
All right, let's wrap it up with this, and we've made hints about it throughout the podcast. I know there's no football this weekend.
No.
But, man, we got a big Saturday. And we mentioned, you know, the volleyball matches when we were talking with Mia Maloney. Of course, they play Friday at 6, but they play Saturday at noon.
Senior day. Yeah.
So, volleyball at noon against Old Dominion. At 4 o'clock, the women are hosting Little Rock.
A-State Little Rock. Come on, Steve Wiedor coming to town.
Can't beat that. And then, yeah, Joe Foley's actually not going to be there this time.
I hope not.
It's going to be weird looking over.
Joe Foley. Come on, Coach Foley. You're welcome. Come on.
Yeah, just as long as you're not coaching the team, we're okay. Yeah,
he's a bona fide Hall of Famer, for real.
Without a doubt.
Wow.
And then the men. We mentioned Ryan Pannone making his home debut coming up Saturday at 7. So
one more banner to unveil.
That's right. Volleyball at noon, the women at 4, the men at 7, a triple header at First National Bank
and
Arena.
And be on the lookout. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, you'll be able to go on our social media channels and see a link for, you can get a $15 ticket that will cover you for all day.
Oh, a super ticket.
Yeah.
Super Saturday at the bank.
It will be. Yeah. I mean, again, volleyball senior day. Women against Little Rock, men's home opener is a lot to celebrate. Or come watch and cheer Saturday. Come make a day of it at the bank.
Anything else you want to mention here?
No, like I said, kind of hinted that at some point this week you'll be able to get your first look at the bobblehead giveaway. The folks who have seen those so far have
been impressed.
Have been fans. They turned out great. Can't wait for everybody to see those and hand those out a week from Thursday. For an ESPN, it wouldn't surprise me to see one of those things turn up on ESPN. Oh, there's some other big news coming as it pertains to ESPN2.
Okay.
Not ESPN2, ESPN also. There's another bit of big ESPN news out there. Be on the lookout.
All right. So,
teaser.
All kinds of good stuff going on right now. Hey, thanks again to Mia Maloney coming in. Really enjoyed our visit with her. Congratulations again to the volleyball team for winning the Sun Belt's Western Division for a second straight season. Thanks to Davey Stinchcomb for setting that up for us. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.